From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. I'm Matthew Bruni, and Glenn, it's been an eventful past couple weeks, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, for July, absolutely. You know, this is usually kind of the downtime, I think, for a lot of people, but not really for the recruiting sites and not really for us. But, yeah, it's been an eventful last couple weeks, and, you know, I think there's still some stuff to come, as we'll kind of touch on. But, yeah, it's been a really really interesting kind of first 11 days for the month.
Yeah, and, you know, Sonny tried going on vacation, and that didn't get off to a great start. So
can't do it, man.
Hopefully he's doing better now over there. So, but we'll hold it down. We have a fun recruiting podcast. You know, like I said, it's been a very busy first 10 days to the month, and more is on the horizon. We'll get into that as well. But Glenn, let's start with this run, because we knew going into the month that there was an opportunity for LSU to, I don't want to say take a step forward, but make significant inroads with this 2023 class specifically, because in the past couple months, it's been like, all right, where are the commits? You know, they started, I don't want to say losing out, but other players started going elsewhere, and there was some concern building up, and understandably so when you get to this point and they had, you know, only a handful of commits. But we see, I'll list them off real quick. We start with Jackson Howard on the first, Joshua Mickens on the third, Deshaun Womack, Deron Reed, and Ashton Stamps on the fourth. Xavier Atkins, who is a 2024, on the fifth. Jeremiah Hughes on the seventh, Jalen Brown on the eighth, and Whit Weeks on the ninth. So we had that run, and that moves that 2023 class up to ninth in the country and also ninth in average rating. What were your overall thoughts just from a general's perspective on this run?
Yeah, I mean, look, nine players in 11 days really kind of to solidify a good chunk of this class, and kind of a really kind of retooling of this class. You know, you kind of mentioned they were kind of on the top 40 looking in for, you know, much of the early start of this class. And you know, with all the recent commits, you know, you kind of jump into that top 10 conversation. And look, I was really impressed. I mean, we kind of heard some rumblings about how they thought the month of June went for them. You know, they had a lot of guys on campus in June, obviously all those camps as well for, you know, guys like Stamps and, you know, I think Mickens was on campus as well. I mean, just mm-hmm. they Jackson Howard was on campus. I mean, just they had a really nice kind of run here where, you know, I think, you know, kind of built some good faith and built some good vibes around the program kind of heading into the fall here. And it doesn't sound like it's slowing down. I mean, we've kind of heard some stuff on, you know, a couple of guys in the 2024 class. I actually just wrote something on the 2024 class and kind of the early hype around that group of players and guys that LSU's targeting. And so, you know, I think it's just a really great momentum ride that they're kind of on right now. And, you know, kind of when you get on these little streaks, I think it starts to pick up steam, and kind of what you were, you know, writing about over the weekend as well. You know, the social media presence has been huge the last several days. You got players, you know, tweeting out the Shelton Stays stuff. I mean, we'll get into that a little bit later. Yeah, but, you know, I think the overall vibes around the recruiting process has been really good these last several weeks. And I think players are starting to take notice. And I think it kind of, you know, kind of helps. It's not obviously a huge element, but it's a key component into why I think some of these players wanted to announce when they did. And so now you got to continue to ride it out. And obviously, you still got, you know, 5 months until signing period, the early signing period. And so now that you have some of these guys on board and you kind of have a good trajectory of where your class sits at the moment, you got to continue to recruit them and hope you can get pen to paper in December.
Yeah, obviously there's still a ways to go, but I want to start with the defensive line, because that was the whole thing for us coming into the month, was like, all right, which one of these defensive linemen do they end up getting? And obviously you know, it was like within 3 days, they got these four: Jackson Howard, Deshaun Womack, Joshua Mickens, and Deron Reed, all four-star guys that are top 250 in the country, regardless of position. When you look at those four specifically, are you looking at one or two that really stand out to you, or is it just like a overall haul that's really just a great job from Jamar Cain?
Yeah, no, I mean, look, Jamar Cain, obviously, he dipped in really all over the country to go get these guys. I mean, you talk about Howard's from Minnesota, Womack's from the Maryland area, Mickens is an Indianapolis guy, and then Reed is all the way in Georgia. So, I think it's been really an impressive kind of streak for Coach Cain, the defensive line coach, who obviously has a lot of great recruiting roots, kind of spread throughout the country. And this was a really good start and kind of a good first building blocks for his first class here as a defensive line coach. I think a lot of these guys are very similar in size and stature. I think they really wanted to attack, that kind of profile of a, speedy edge rusher. I could see really, three of these guys playing out on the edge. I think they're yeah. fast, and they got, enough physique to them to where they can, make a really big impact on the edge. I think Howard and Womack and Mickens are all guys that you could see kind of slide to the outside. And, I think one of the big things with LSU is that, look, after this year, you're probably going to lose Ali Gay, probably going to lose BJ Ojulari. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose, a couple of good veterans on that group. And you're going to return obviously with Mason Smith and with, Quincy Wiggins and a couple other guys, yeah. but Jaclyn Roy is another guy you could throw in who could possibly leave after this year. So you've got to do a really good job of replacing these players, and you got to get versatile. You got to get guys who are going to be able to fill in their bodies a little bit when they get to campus. And I really like this mix. I kind of vision Reed. He's kind of a little bit bigger of a guy. 270, 280. Get him into the 300 range when he gets to campus, and maybe he can slide inside and be an athletic interior guy for you. So lots of different directions they can go with this group, but it's a great overall haul, I think, for Coach Cain to kind of get to play with the future of this group a little bit.
Yeah, and that was the whole thing with Cain coming in, was how he's recruited so many different parts of the country to this point. Obviously, he was at Oklahoma before, which does a lot of Texas stuff, but has recruited a bunch of places, especially when they were under Lincoln Riley. And you look at Louisiana as a state this year, and there's not a four-star defensive lineman really. At least not in the top 15, right? And so you don't have that standout guy that you're like, all right, they have to get this defensive end, they have to get this defensive lineman. And obviously that was a whole different conversation coming into the month. It's like, are they going to recruit Louisiana? If they don't recruit Louisiana, how are they going to build that foundation? Well, in years like this, where there might not be at a specific position players of the caliber of Jackson Howard and Sean Womack and so on and so forth, that's why you have a guy like Jamar Cain, who has this type of experience and can do this. Like, this is what separates those type of recruiters from the guys who can just recruit their pipeline, just recruit their state. And no, that's, to absolutely. Me, just a huge boost for this defense moving forward. So yeah, the defense line is where I wanted to start, because it's just a huge it's a huge win for this team, and I'm not sure if they're done yet on the defense line. I could see them maybe going after one or two more up front here, and especially now that there's not a cap on the 25. So, with that being said, I wanted to talk about. Do you have anything else on defensive line before we keep going?
Not really defensive line oriented. I mean, just looking at the class. I mean, 12 of the 14 guys are out of state. I mean, I think that just kind of speaks to the overall thought process so far of these coaches. You talked about, Cortez Hankton going out and getting a, guy out of Florida. I mean, there's just a lot of, the mixture of guys right now is not really in-state oriented. And I think that LSU will get to a place this, off season and into the season where they do target a little bit more of the Louisiana guys moving forward. But, right now when you're in the summer months and you can, obviously have that freedom to go recruit out of state and obviously, be able to bring in players, during these summer months as well. I think it's no worries and no kind of no problems why they're doing that approach right now in these months.
Yeah. And like we talked about before, I mean, we don't need to beat a dead horse, but they got off to such a, it's a new staff coming in for the 2023 class. We kind of expected them to be a little bit more out of state oriented right. coming into it. So that's not a huge shock to us. It is still, it makes it even more impressive that they're able to get these type of guys. And that leads me to Jaylen Brown, five-star receiver that Cortez Hankton and company were able to get committed just a couple days ago, because we looked at this class and we're like, all right, Shelton Sampson is, we'll talk about him in a second, but Shelton Sampson is the one that you have to keep, right? That's Baton Rouge, Catholic, like five-star receiver. He has to be LSU. After him, I was not sure about where they were going to go at receiver, because while, yeah, there's some, you know, three-star guys they could bring in. I had thrown out different names. You know, they didn't, you know, there was like Carnell Tate, who I never really thought they were going to get, but he was the name. Jaquez Petaway ends up going to Oklahoma. You go on a list of players and you're just like, I'm not really sure. They obviously, Omarion Miller goes to Nebraska, which you can say that's by the staff's choice or his choice, whatever. It was like, where's the second receiver going to come from here? And it ends up coming in the form of Jaylen Brown from Florida, basically stealing from Miami. And this came out of nowhere for me. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of echo that sentiment. I mean, you know, Miami's been on such a recruiting hot streak as well. It wouldn't have been very surprising to see him land with Miami, but I think just the timing of it, you know, obviously mixed in with all these other great players that LSU was able to land on that, you know, 4th of July weekend. I think he's, you know, like I said, it doesn't play a huge factor in it, but I think he looks around and he sees kind of the hot streak that LSU's on and kind of wants to add that fuel to the fire. I'm not saying I know that played a big factor into his making that decision when he did, but you know, it just kind of adds a little extra fire to kind of the momentum that LSU had been building there. And obviously a really, really phenomenal talent, just a great athlete, a guy who, you know, runs, you know, in that 10.5, 10.6 range of the 100-yard dash. I mean, he's just a really explosive guy and a guy who can, you know, I think come in and really contribute early in his career, whether it's on special teams or in kind of a reduced, you know, role on the offense, and kind of build his way, build his body up and build it into an SEC caliber receiver. But yeah, just a tremendous addition. I think, you know, obviously we'll touch on Sampson more in a bit, but you got to keep him. And you know, kind of when you look at this LSU offense moving forward, there's a great, you know, group of sophomores this year. But there's also kind of an overload of sophomores to where you're not sure exactly who's going to be back with that group next year. Yeah, there's only one football and, you know, like four or five positions. So, you know, it could, you know, very, very well wind up being a situation where LSU needs to replace a couple of guys. And obviously with, you know, a guy like Kayshon Boutte moving on, probably you got Dre Jenkins, who's an older vet out there. You know, there's going to be some, I think, some overhaul that you're going to need with this receiver group. And obviously bringing in a guy like Jaylen Brown is going to be huge for this future of this position.
I love you using the there's only one football, like it's a basketball, like,
yep.
It's always a basketball thing you hear. It's like, there's only one ball, you know. I don't know how James Harden.
Well, I mean, especially for like receivers, man, like, yeah. You only get so many opportunities in a you know, a game and in a season. You got to make the most of them. And so, you know, I think for a lot of these super talented players, you know, you got to really think about what's my role looking like moving forward. And so LSU being able to restock at that position, obviously a great, you know, kind of tradition here they've established in the last 11 or 12 years of elite receivers. It's going to be really important to bring guys like Jaylen Brown into the program and continuing to build up that legacy.
Yeah. And also Kyle Parker from Lovejoy, Texas, three-star guy.
Another speedy guy, though. Like, there's a profile there. They want speed. They want guys who are going to be able to, I think, get in space. And, you know, it's an old cliche that we've heard, you know, really since the Joe Burrow days is, you know, we want to get our athletes in space and we want to get them the ball. And, you know, if you're a speedy receiver, that's certainly an avenue to helping you get open. So,
and not for nothing, I think this receiver class was so important because last year's was only Landon Ibieta and Kyren Lacy, right? Like, those are the only two. So if not saying that those two aren't good, I think they're both, and I'm actually really high on Landon Ibieta. But I think they're both going to be good, but you know, obviously Shelton Sampson and Jaylen Brown are those five-star type of guys that you were like, you expect them to come and be like future, you know, top two, top three round draft picks. Like, those are the type of guys that you're looking at there. So
that's what, too. Yeah, you want to see some early contributions from those guys too, and you know, get something from them early in their careers.
Yeah. Let's jump to defense. Well, we already went defensive line, but let's go cornerback here because they pick up two corners, Ashton Stamps and Jeremiah Hughes, both 2023s, both three-star guys. I know we both saw a lot of Ashton Stamps in camp, and I was very, very impressed with him. I thought him as like a high three-star guy was a fair range for him. I don't know where exactly he falls. I think he falls in the 86 or so range off the top of my head. But I was really impressed with him in camp, and I saw the potential there. And that's why it makes sense to me why LSU would take this type of flyer, this type of guy. I mean, out of Metairie, I like this pickup a lot for them. I know it's not going to be the standout guy like Daylon Austin. I know Daylon Austin is the one everyone's going to point to when they look at this cornerback class, but Ashton Stamps is a guy at 6 feet tall that I thought displayed a lot of athleticism and a lot of potential in camp. So I'll start with him. I didn't Jeremiah Hughes, I'm not as familiar with. So if you have anything on him, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, with Stamps, you know, the thing that I came away with is he's very fluid. He's a very fluid runner. He kind of just glides through the air, and there's, you know, some corners that kind of get a little, you know, I don't know, hippie. Chalky a little bit, and just it's kind of hard to you know, really figure out what, you know, kind of the future looks like for him. But I think a guy like Stamps is a guy who can, you know, obviously the one thing you got to do with this cornerback room is rebuild. I mean, they are bringing in transfers for this season. They're bringing in obviously guys who, you know, are not, you know, hugely, you know, rated. You know, you got a lot of opportunities here for I think a lot of players in this cornerback room this year, and you got to start building out the future because the room could get very bare very quickly here. So, yes. You know, I do think it's going to be very important that LSU continues to attack this position group. I think it's something that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if LSU brings in one or two more corners in this class. I mean, I think they just need it for depth purposes. Just looking at what the, you know, kind of the class and the room looks like moving forward. So, yeah, a guy like Stamps is obviously a big time recruit. You know, Jeremiah Hughes is another guy that, you know, like you, we didn't see a whole lot of him. I don't think he was camping with LSU this summer, but he did come in. I think he's a very bright guy, very bright young man, and I think he's going to be able to help with this kind of retooling of this cornerback room. But you know, kind of out of the Las Vegas area, Bishop Gorman High School. That's obviously a big program out there, and you know, a guy who I think, you know, can really help the future of the room. So, good start, and I don't think they're done. I think, you know, obviously with Daylon Austin, that's a big time player as well. But you know, I think you got to at least lead with four or five guys, I think, in this recruiting class alone.
No, definitely. I mean, you hit a nail on the head. I mean, with the amount of transfer they bring in at corner, I mean, basically four of their five DBs are going to be seniors. And then I think the only one not is Mekhi Gardner, who's a junior, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So, you know, you got eight older players across the board here. So that's what I'm interested
in. I mean, you got young guys like Demarius McGee and, the freshman Jalen Davis Robinson, who's obviously a summer addition. So, I mean, they got some guys coming in, but I think you really need to load up on corner just to really feel good about your future in the secondary and kind of get it on par with the safety position, because I do think the safety's position is a little bit deeper and a little bit more, just, you know, a little bit better aligned for the future than the cornerback room is right now.
Man, not for nothing. I mean, I feel like they could use some nickels as well. Some guys to fill in. I know nickel corner is kind of an afterthought because you could slide safeties down, you can move corners in. Like, that's kind of the way it goes, like we saw with Cordell Flott. But, you know, they lost Flott and they brought in transfer Brooks, who's a senior. And so, I mean,
Sage Ryan could also play in the slot. He played a little bit in the slot last year, so you can see him certainly playing some more there.
All right. To wrap up this string of commitments, we got two linebackers here. The 2024 is Xavier Atkins, who flipped from Missouri to LSU, and then three-star Whit Weeks, who is the brother of West Weeks, who transferred from Virginia to LSU this past summer. Which one you want to start with here? Where do you want to go with this?
I guess we can start with the brother, the Whit Weeks addition. To stick with the 2023 class, obviously, legacy play here. I think LSU, you know, really was – was in on him, you know, at the early start of the summer when they were able to sign his brother West and bring him aboard as well. He just had a good feeling about it. But, you know, look, Witt is, I think, a little bit of an underrated prospect. You know, I've watched a little bit of film on him, and he's a tackling machine, man. He can really get after it. He's obviously a Georgia kid, a guy who plays you know, extremely physical, tough, you know, kind of a really good prototypical linebacker. He's already got really good size for you know, rising senior. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's another great, you know, kind of addition. Obviously, you got a guy like Harold Perkins, who, you know, is going to be kind of the future of that room, I think, in terms of just what you hope to get out of him in the next couple of years. They have a couple of inside guys and, you know, Sampa and Phillip Webb, guys like that who haven't really, you know, panned out, hadn't had a whole lot of playing time in their first couple of years with the program. But, you know, I think the future of that room is a little bit brighter than it was before. I think you obviously got a guy like Mike Jones and Greg Penn, who's
Mario Tolan as well.
Mario Tolan is another really good one to throw in there as well. You know, I do think there are some guys here for the next two or three years you can really rely on. But I do also think you're going to need to maybe add one or two more. I mean, look, I think with the restrictions lifted, I think there is really no wrong direction to go. As long as you know kind of who's leaving the program, who might, you might dip into the portal and get, if you have a good sense of what your numbers are going to look like after the season, I think there's no harm in going over that 25 number. And yeah, you know, Brian Polian really talked with us about it back in like the spring, that they were really hoping for that, you know, 25 man restriction to get lifted for the next couple of years, just to allow not only just their program to get back on, you know, kind of the equal footing with what their future looks like and planning for the future, and not having to really rely heavily on the transfer portal where you're bringing in, you know, 15 guys every year from the portal. So, you know, really important to land guys like Whit Weeks, guys who, you know, might fly a little bit under the radar right now, but could catch fire during their senior seasons and rise up boards. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, I mean, we see three stars all the time come in and contribute fairly soon. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, that's the rundown of that the past 10 days, basically. Now let's get into Shelton Sampson, because we've previewed him a bit. You know, we've teased him a little bit. It was Stay Shelton was a hashtag for a bit. And to me, I didn't think, and so you are obviously, you know more than I do, so I want to defer to you here, but is there a sense that he's even going to be committing anytime soon, or is this kind of just a play to be like, hey man, we're still here, we're still in the picture, don't forget about us here? And obviously I think there's an expectation that he commits to LSU, there's a hope amongst fans, but he's still being recruited by, I'm sure, I know Florida State was in heavy. I think Bama as well was in on him. So
yeah,
with those two still in the picture, I think there's a understanding that we can't just assume that we're safe. We have to continue to go all out to try to get him.
Yeah. I mean, that's really kind of an unprecedented thing. I mean, I was just looking, you know, kind of had the tweet deck thing pulled up on, you know, for the afternoon, and you know, you see like 15 to 20 different LSU players put this Shelton Stays up. I mean, you know, it's one thing for, you know, kind of the LSU recruiting staff to do it, and, you know, maybe a couple of recruits from the class to do it. But I mean, you had some really high profile LSU players like John Emery and Mike Jones Jr. I mean, just a lot of the kind of the more, you know, fresh faces that you see around this program, kind of more recognizable faces, putting that tweet out. And, you know, I think it just kind of points to where this program hopes to be, you know, contending, you know, letting the local guys know, the local big prospects that are in this state, that they're very valued. They want them. They want them to be a part of the future of what they're building here. And so, yeah, that was very interesting kind of afternoon. We were kind of all texting back and forth in the fray, like, oh my gosh, do you think he's going to pull a surprise commitment here? And so, you know, we'll be prepared if something happens, but you know, I don't think it's imminent. You know, we talked a little bit with Sonny, kind of reached out with a couple of people with the program, and, you know, I think it was just kind of more recruitment related, more of a friendly, you know, hey, we want you kind of deal. And You know, obviously Sampson was a guy who, visited Alabama back in June. He visited Florida State, but he's been on LSU's campus a lot too. So, I mean, he's obviously a, Catholic Baton Rouge guy, and, LSU has some good success of bringing those guys in. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a great player from that program, Catholic. And so, they I think that's kind of the more trajectory of what we're thinking here. I'm not sure if it's an imminent commitment from him. Could be wrong. He could pull a 180 on us and commit within the next couple hours. But, I do think that LSU is in a good spot with him, and they're going to continue to recruit him hard.
I'm just sitting here thinking about the possibility of them getting Sampson and Brown, and that would
be a great class. Yeah.
Absurd. Like that single-handedly, it would just take this class to a different level, because I did a class prediction, Sonny done his class prediction. It's like we all had Shelton Sampson in there, but it was like, all right, well, how many, like, this looks like it's going to be, it looked like it was going to be more of like a real solid class across the board, like one with like 18 4-stars, like a really, really solid class. To get those two, that is Ohio State level receiver recruiting. And obviously, Ohio, for those who don't know, Ohio State has the number two and number three receivers in this class in 2023. For LSU to get Brown and Sampson, if that's what ends up happening, that
five cannot, and six right now, I think it would be like
four
the five,
and five.
Four and five. Okay.
Four and five. That cannot be understated how impressive that would be. Like, that is going to be that, if that ends up happening, it will be just a complete difference maker for this program to bring those two in, if that's what ended up happening. Like I said, it's Ohio State level, right? We all know Ohio State is basically has dominated the wide receiver scene the past few years. That's no secret. LSU will firmly plant its flag and be like, yeah, we are here too. And that's a huge, huge deal for a staff that just got here to take.
Yeah, absolutely. Take big recruiting win. I mean, it would be kind of on par with, that class a couple of years ago that featured Thomas and Hilton as the two 5-stars, and you fill them out with a Jack Besh and with a Deion Smith and kind of down the line there. But look, that would be obviously a tremendous haul for the future of this offense, and I think bring a little bit more of a sigh of relief in terms of just the the program not being able to quote unquote recruit big time talent. So I do think that is going to be a huge factor moving forward.
All right, we talked about Shelton Sampson. Two other names that I want to mention that we kind of touched on a bit. 2024 athlete JoJo Stone announced his commitment, I believe that's at 6 o'clock Central Time today. Yeah. And then
Monday, July 11th. We'll just have that time frame up just to
there you go.
Is people catch the pod a little later, but
yeah, there you go. Yeah, we're recording this on Monday. I think I'll have this up soon after we were done, but Monday, July 11th. And then Tuesday, Caleb Jackson, 2023 running back, announces his commitment. I believe that's in the morning. I don't remember. We're going to it. I don't remember the time.
We're going to it. I think it's at 11:30. It's I'm not sure if the schedule commits on 24/7 or Eastern time. I think they are, so it's probably 10:30.
Yeah, I think it's 10:30.
We'll get there at 10:30 just to be safe, and we'll be out there.
Get there a little earlier.
Maybe a little earlier than 10:30, but yeah, we'll be there for it, and we'll be covering it. We'll get some video, maybe grab a quick interview if we can, and get that up on the board and on the site. But I think we kind of expected, I think, a little bit of maybe a small fall in terms of maybe the guys that they would want to bring in moving forward, in terms of, the next couple of weeks. I don't think we're going to see another 9 commit stretch in 11 days, but I think kind of just running this down a little bit, I think obviously a guy like Caleb Jackson would come in and be a huge addition, to go with Trey Holly, two Louisiana players, and at the running back spot, LSU obviously has great history with recruiting Louisiana running backs and developing them into NFL talent. And, when you bring in Frank Wilson, that's kind of the goal. I mean, he's a guy that's shown over his career to really recruit, doesn't really matter if they're a 3-star or a 5-star guy. He does a really nice job of recruiting the guys that he thinks fits the program and coaches them up and sends them on to their next level. So, I do think that would be a huge addition. It does sound like, LSU's kind of in a little bit of a battle there. But, I do think it, we'll obviously find out tomorrow, but I do think LSU's in a good spot there. So yeah, that's pretty much my roundup on Jackson. But yeah.
If he commits to A&M tomorrow, do we just leave?
I don't know. I mean, I guess. I mean, maybe ask him about Max Johnson. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, no, I guess we'd get some quotes for the A&M side.
I think A&M's, the other big player here to watch for. But
I was just looking at around. I know he visited Alabama on June 24th. So maybe they'll in there. I don't know how many hats they'll have up there. I don't know. I have no clue what he'll do, but, as far as like how it's going to go about, but they are two crystal balls in for LSU. So we'll see if those are correct, but yeah, that's going to be one to watch for Tuesday. Obviously if they got both of those, that would continue the run, quote unquote. But I want to talk about offensive line now, because we knew coming into it is like, there's, whenever I did that class prediction, I had this long list of like defensive linemen, long list of offensive linemen. Defensive line is, I don't want to say it's done, but you know, it's four of them in this month. It feels like it's time for the offensive line to get some, Glenn. What do you think about? I have some names here. I can't say his name.
Besantis, I think is his name. Yeah.
There you go. Chase Besantis, Zalen's Hurd, Tyree Adams are two names that we are both crystal ball to LSU. I think there's an expectation that they commit to LSU at some point. So you have those three right there. I might be missing one or two, but do you think this month we will see them start to make inroads on the offensive line?
Not sure if it'll be this month, but you know, I think that's probably the one position moving forward that you absolutely have to get a lot of. I mean, I remember talking back with Polian again back in April. He mentioned that they want at least four offensive linemen in this next class, and so I do think that that's going to be kind of the next position of focus. Obviously, Brad Davis is one of the great offensive line recruiters in the country. And, you know, he's got some really great local talent here to work with. I think, obviously, the big focus is Zalen's Hurd. That's going to be a huge another Neville player, you know, to go along with Will Campbell. That would be really a nice little 1-2 punch in back-to-back years there. Tyree Adams, obviously, another New Orleans player, another New Orleans prospect who's, you know, kind of rising up boards. I think he might have been even a 3-star player, you know, this time last year, and I think he's up to a 4-star level now. So guy who's, you know, really improved over the last year. And so I do think getting those two Louisiana guys is going to be huge, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they dip out of state, if they dip into the transfer portal at one point, you know, just to really make this, you know really beef this group up. I'm just really, you know, that's the one position group that has a lot of bodies in there, but just not a lot of experience. And so if, you know, some of these guys like Cardell Thomas can finally pop for the program, if, Anthony Bradford can come back and be kind of show some more consistent signs of who he could have been, last year, you know, I think, you know, there's some really good tools to work with there. Emory Jones, a young freshman like Emory Jones, can maybe pop. I mean, obviously, we know Will Campbell is going to be probably your starting left tackle. That's a great, great guy to have for the next 2 or 3 years. So, but, you know, there's just not much in the way of experience on this team right now that you really feel confident about going forward. So you got to really build it up, you know, as much as you can. To feel good about yourselves moving forward. So, and what we know is, you know, they do a really good job. You know, Brian Kelly has a history of, bringing in some great offensive linemen and having the right people around him to be able to, mm-hmm. you know, coach him up and put him in the NFL. So that's going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah, no, I think you covered it well. 2023 defense lineman Xavier McLeod is another name I'm looking at. Not sure if or when he would commit, but that's a name that I've been tracking. I think I had him on my prediction piece as well. So, and nothing's really changed on that front over the past couple weeks.
I think there's a guy named Ethan Fields too. That's somebody that I think Sonny kind of wrote about a little bit. Just another name to keep an eye on. I think offensive line, you've got to really attack that group moving forward. I think that's got to be the one position group that you're like, okay, we need to put a lot of focus and emphasis on bringing those guys in here.
Yeah, like I said, it feels like it's time. It's like all the other position groups have had their moments in the sun. It's like, all right, it's gonna be. I'm not saying that they have to do anything. Like, it doesn't matter when they get commitments. Obviously, right. It's just right. getting them. But it does feel like it's time. So,
new CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, we got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9, 8 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Another position that does not have a commitment is quarterback, Glenn. We couldn't go a podcast without talking about the quarterback position here. Dante Moore commits to Oregon. As we know, Jaden Rashada will not be going to LSU. So also the Kansas quarterback, Avery Johnson, committed to Kansas State, as we expected. I kind of just threw had his name in there just as someone to watch. So I think they're reaching out to other quarterbacks in this class as well. Maybe you can expand on that, but we've talked about Ricky Collins before, and then there's been some people saying that he's solid. He's going to Purdue no matter what. Do we feel like they even get a quarterback in this class?
Yeah, so I do think it's kind of coming down to you're kind of running out of options now. But I do think Ricky Collins and then Brock Glenn is a guy that they've recently announced, or have an offer out for. But they've gotten into his recruiting process pretty late as well. So there's going to be some uphill work to do there. But yeah, I mean, look, I think if you put the full court press on Ricky Collins and you really recruit him hard over the next several months, I mean, I do think there's a possibility he could switch. But, you know, look, Purdue feels, I mean, he feels really good about Purdue. I know that from, you know, just talking with people at LSU and, you know, with Sonny, some of the things that he's heard as well. You know, he's kind of in a position where, you know, hey, if they really want me that bad, they've got to start really recruiting me. And so recruiting me harder. And I think that's going to be really interesting to see. Just do they really feel like they need a quarterback in this class is going to be the question. And I think, you know, I've kind of come back around on it a little bit. I think you'd like to have a quarterback in this class, but also at the end of the day, if you don't, I think you have, you know, two very good options here for the next several years. I mean, Nussmeier and Howard should give you some, you know, really good just feelings about the future of that position and what it looks like for the next 2 or 3 years. And, you know, I think, you know, you can really kind of put your focus into 2024 if you really feel like you're not going to land one of those elite or one of those remaining guys in the 2023 class. And, you know, I don't think it would be a huge disappointment to not land a quarterback in this class just because, you know, you got your five-star guy last year in Walker Howard, a guy you think is going to be the, you know, a multi-year starter for you. And so, you know, you put him with Nussmeier for the next, you know, however long he's here as well, next 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is. I think you can feel good about that quarterback spot and really allow your kind of main focus to go on maybe the future of that position and next class and classes after that.
Yeah, it would be awkward if you end the season and let's say in theory Brennan and Daniels are gone and then you'd only have two.
Yeah.
Obviously you want three, I think ideally at least.
That's what the transfer portal's for.
Yeah, it's like then do you go portal? But at that point, you know, we assume Nussmeier and Howard to be, I don't want to say they'd be ready for the next season, but you know, you have to look into it, all this when you're recruiting, right? You have to look 2 or 3 years down the line, and that's what recruiting is. I never thought that the quarterback position was a must have in this, and I am not of the belief that they need to look much farther than Ricky Collins. Like, if you're going to get a quarterback, Ricky Collins is about as low as you go, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that there's not going to be good quarterbacks that come out of like the 20 to 25 range and whatnot, but to me, Ricky Collins, the 11th rated quarterback by 24/7, the 11th rated by the composite. I mean, you look at him, I mean, that's pretty much where I would go. I don't think you need to force yourself to go and take a guy like Brock Glenn, who is rated the 18th ranked quarterback, who I think Auburn's in on. I think there's some other guys in on, but I just don't think you need to force the issue here. I think you have quarterbacks here, and if you need a third quarterback, you can get a young quarterback from the transfer portal. You can get any quarterback you want basically from the transfer portal. Like, there's, you can probably put in like, oh yeah, I want like a freshman that played like two games. Like, you could probably customize the damn filters with the transfer portal nowadays, and I'm sure you can get someone. So yeah. I just don't think it's the end of the world if they don't get one. And I'm looking at it right now, 31 of the top 33 quarterbacks in the country are committed at this point. So
yeah,
either you get Ricky Collins, or I think you just let it go.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I mean, you know, just the things that we've heard about, you know, the young quarterbacks they have. I mean, like, Nussmeier could be ready this year. Like, there's a legit possibility Nussmeier comes in this fall, blows the coaching staff away, and is your opening day starter as a sophomore, as a redshirt freshman. So that is very much in play. And so, you know, I do think that if you feel that way now, you'll definitely feel that way a year from now, even if he's not the starter this year. So, yeah, I think they're in a great spot quarterback wise, and you know, it's going to be a really interesting battle and next year between Howard and Nussmeier. I think that's kind of what I think we're setting up for, but you know, again, we'll see. We'll have to wait and see. But you know, I think LSU's in a great spot with that position. I think it's one of those, you know, position groups now that always felt like a one that LSU was not on good solid ground with, and I think the last, you know, year or two, you know, they felt really good heading into the season about their options. Now it's just about keeping some of these guys healthy, getting them, you know, some quality reps, and seeing who wins out in the fall.
Yeah, and last thing I'll say is, when we talk about the 2024 class, Joe Sloan has already made significant inroads on those. I think I wrote the story. I think it was something like he hosted like 17 of the top 30 quarterbacks of the 2024 class, and it was like some crazy number, like 9 of the top 15. Like, he's already hosted all these guys. He's already made connections with them. He's already started recruiting all these 2024 guys. Whether it gets Ricky Collins or not, it's the 2024 class that's going to decide, to me, you know, how we evaluate Joe Sloan. Like, he has to, that 2024 class, you know, we've heard all the names already. That's the class that you're going to look at and be like, he has to get one of these big fish to me.
And
so,
and I didn't write this in my piece, but on the board I did post, like, I think the 2024 class as a whole is when you're really going to start to see what the trajectory of this LSU recruiting, you know, cycle looks like moving forward, just because you have multi years now to build relationship with those players. I mean, they came in with 2022, they were scrambling. 2023, I mean, you already have some relationships built, but you know, a lot of these guys, you know, you're building just like for a year at a time. I think with this 2024 class, you have, you know, 2, 3 years now to really recruit these players and get them, you know, to buy into what you're preaching. And so I do think that next class is going to be really a great indicator of what the future looks like in terms of what they're looking for in their recruits moving forward.
And recruiting Louisiana, not for anything, right? Like, that's where I think it shows the most is you can build a high school relationship. You can start recruiting guys when they're freshmen, sophomores. We see Frank Wilson, I believe, one of the running backs he had. His name is escaping me. And the elite camp was 2026 or 2025. And it's like, all right, that's what you can start doing when you're here and you are building those relationships through LSU.
Early.
Yeah. So, all right. That's all we got on the recruiting front. Real quick, we'll preview some SEC media days. We still don't know who's coming with Brian Kelly to Atlanta, but we will both be there. It should be a lot of fun. I think Lane Kiffin is also on that day, Glenn. I don't know if you knew that. So, and then I think it's Drinkwitz is the third. And so he's a character a little bit, right? Isn't he? Right?
I can't remember all these guys, but we're going to have to do some rock, paper, scissors on who's driving, though. You want to do that right now?
All right. Yeah. Is this who?
I'm not
driving the whole way. I'm not driving 9 hours here.
Okay. All right. You've been on the road a lot. I might have to get suckered into making that drive, but you know, that just means you're going to have to be on the board all day, cause I'll be in the car driving. So
yeah. Well, yeah. We'll do like a Q&A. We'll get a Q&A going.
Yeah.
During the drive.
And we'll ask you guys for some good road tunes too. Maybe that'll be a good,
yeah. Give us a playlist or something.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Isn't oh no, Mullins is the one that showed up in Darth Vader. And then Drinkwitz trolled him for it. I was like, I knew there was some connection there.
Yes, yes. There was was definitely going on.
Okay.
That was a couple years ago when things were maybe a little bit lighter on the Florida front, but but you know, not so much anymore. That's
I'm gonna be interested
in Napier. I want to see how Napier handles his first SEC media days too. I mean, we'll probably be in the car or back in Baton Rouge by then, but certainly we'll be tuning in.
That's gonna be interesting.
Fellow Louisiana coach handles his first year in the SEC. That'll be interesting to follow. So,
I mean, this is because they didn't have it in person last year either, right? It's the past 2 years they haven't had it in person.
I think so. They might have. I definitely didn't go last year. If they did, I've kind of watched. I think the last couple of years, you know, just following it from home. But
yeah,
you know,
I think so. All right.
So
yeah, we will be there. So you can follow all the content at go247.com. Check out our board, become a subscriber if you're not already. I believe you get a month for a dollar. So check that out. Follow us on Twitter at go247. Subscribe, leave a like, comment, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. We appreciate y'all for joining us, and we'll talk to y'all later.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.